We are listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak and speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a question for you this evening. And I asked this question the other night at Bible study, and everyone was in shock that I even asked the question. So let's see how the evening congregation gets on with it. Are you all set for Christmas? I'll take by the laugh that you're probably not. Well, you know it's getting closer when the Sundays are now in the countdown before Advent. This is the third Sunday before Advent. You know it's getting closer when the Christmas stuff is in the shops, although it's been in from August, so maybe that's not a sign. You know it's getting closer when you have the reminder that it's just 42 days to Christmas. And perhaps when you hear that, your mind starts racing about all the things that you have to do to be ready for Christmas. Buying presents, ordering the turkey, cleaning the house, putting up the tree, checking that the lights work and not electrocuting yourself in the process, and so much more. All the things to do before you are prepared. Well, in these Sunday nights leading up to Christmas, we're going to get ready in an entirely different way. Forget about making a list and checking it twice. Instead, we're going to prepare for Christmas by revisiting the preparations for the very first Christmas. It's not so much the house prepared, but as we see in verse 17, a people prepared for the Lord. Luke, as he writes his gospel, will tell us about the shepherds and the angels and the stable. But before we get there, he starts his story a little bit further back. He tells us of the things that happened in order to get to the manger in Bethlehem, as he begins his good news story. And it might be useful if you open up your Bible again to page 1025, just in case you've closed it. Well, we all know how stories begin, don't we? Once upon a time, there were three little pigs, or however the story might go. Or even a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Any Star Wars fans among us? Just one, it seems. Just me. Those are ways that you start stories, but that's not how Luke starts his story. You see, this is no fairy tale. This is no next chapter in the Star Wars franchise. Luke is writing history, having carefully researched what has happened. Look at verses 1 to 4. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." So he's saying there that, you know, there are other gospels. You know, by the time Luke writes, Matthew is in existence, probably. Mark is definitely in existence. And Luke says, you know, okay, there are other gospels, but I want to write this one. And so he set himself a very careful task. Verse 3, therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. He tells us about his method there and his purpose in those verses. He has carefully investigated everything from the beginning. He has interviewed some of the eyewitnesses. He has carefully researched what they have told him and put it all together. He has written an orderly account, which is helpful to remember whenever you read Luke's Gospel, and sometimes you think, well, why has he written that in that way, or why has he put that there? There's an order to the story. We have to discover that. But his main purpose is for Theophilus, his friend, which means friend of God, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. He wants Theophilus to be certain about what has happened. He wants us to be certain about the life and teaching and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, have you ever watched a film and enjoyed the story, only to discover as the credits roll that it's based on a true story? That what you have just watched hasn't been made up, but someone actually lived through those events. Well, here, this is the true story of what happened. You can see it in the historical details Luke includes. Verse 5, that Herod is the king of Judea. Verse 5 also, that Zechariah is a priest, that he's married to Elizabeth, and details of which section of the priesthood he's in. Luke is telling us the true story, something that we can rely on and trust. And it's the true story of a special child, as we can see from the special circumstances of the birth. As we've said, Zechariah is a priest, and we're taken with him to Jerusalem, to the temple. Now, there were 24 different divisions of priests, each taking their turn in serving at the temple. And Zechariah and the rest of the priests of Abijah, they went up to Jerusalem for their week. And while they were there, each morning and each evening, one of them would be selected to go into the temple, into the holy place, to offer a sacrifice of incense on the altar. It's reckoned that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you were selected once, that was it. You couldn't do it again. But also, some of the priests never got to go inside. So Zechariah's number came up. He was chosen. And he knew what he needed to do. You walk in, you light the incense offering, then you turn around, come back out, and bless the people who are waiting outside. He knew what he had to do. Walk in, light the incense offering, turn around, walk out again, and bless the people. Simple. Except, that's not what happened that particular day. When he went inside, things weren't as he expected. There was an angel inside waiting to see him. He had an appointment with Gabriel, even though he didn't realise it in advance. Now, I wonder what you think of when you hear of angels. Fluffy wings, white robes, a little something around their head. Zechariah is terrified. The sight is awesome. Fear overwhelms him. Verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." He knows his name. He knows the circumstances. And so the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that he is going to become a dad, that he and Elizabeth are going to have a child. No pregnancy testers here. No 12-week scan. Just a heavenly messenger straight from God announcing the forthcoming birth. What a special child this is going to be. But that's not all. Just think of the parents of this child. Back in verse 7, we were told that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. Indeed, it's what Zechariah says himself in verse 18. Look at it with me. How much he regards his wife. He says, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." All those years of childlessness, all that pain, and suddenly the news comes of this special birth of this special child. You might be reminded of another time when an elderly couple had a baby. Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s when they suddenly had to go shopping for maternity wear and for nursery furniture when God gave them the child of promise, Isaac. Well, that was the start of something amazing in the Old Testament. And here now we have the start of something just as amazing in the New Testament. This is the beginning of another chapter in God's purposes as he gives another miracle baby. This special child in special circumstances. And Gabriel tells him what the child's name is going to be there in verse 13. John, which means gift from the Lord. The special child in special circumstances is a gift from God. Well, the news was so unexpected that Zechariah simply can't believe it. He thinks of himself and he thinks of his, past it wife. And he thinks, well, this simply can't be. He says there in verse 18, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. How can I be sure that what you have said is going to happen?" It's not enough that, the angel Gabriel has come from heaven to meet him in the temple. He wants to be absolutely sure. Well, he's given a surprising sign, isn't he? Look at it there in verse 19. In verse 20, the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Now, I don't know, there might be some wives that would be quite happy that their husbands would be silent for 9 months. I don't know. But Zechariah is quite literally dumbstruck, because he doesn't believe the angel's message. This true story of a special child. when a baby is born, there are lots of hopes and expectations. And in our reading, this special child has a special purpose, as Gabriel tells him in verses 16 and 17. Well, actually, go back a bit further, verse 14. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We see there that John's birth was promised in the Old Testament. God's people had been waiting for about 400 years for him to arrive on the scene as the one who would come in advance of the Lord's arrival. Gabriel says he would come in the power of Elijah, one of the Old Testament prophets, to prepare the way for the Lord. This child, John, will grow up to go before the Lord to make a people prepared for the Lord's arrival. One day, we were still in college in Dublin, so it must be 12 years ago maybe, 11 or 12 years ago. That makes me feel old, so it does. And one day we had finished our classes in Dublin. It must have been about 3 o'clock. And we had nothing on the rest of the day, although there were probably essays to write, but they would get done at some point. And as we were coming out of our class, there were these Garda motorbike riders suddenly flew past us into the big courtyard at the front of Trinity. And we thought, what's going on there? And so, it's not nosiness, it's just being interested. We decided to hang around for a wee while just to see if there was someone famous who was coming. And that day, we saw the King and Queen of Belgium, I think it was. I think it was Belgium. I might have to check that. My memory's not as good as it used to be. But the King was coming. But before the King arrived, you had the outriders, the motorbike people, to prepare the way, to clear the way. And that's what John is doing. John comes to get people ready for the arrival of the King. His message will be that the King is coming and we need to be ready for him. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We're not just talking about getting ready for Christmas, as near as that might be now. We're actually talking about the Lord's coming. And if you were to turn over a page or two in the Bible, you will find John appearing in the wilderness, preaching his message of repentance, calling people to turn from their sins. And John began that ministry before Jesus appears on the scene to bring God's salvation. The true story of a special child with a special purpose. We're not dealing here with fairy tales. Luke hasn't just made up a nice wee story. He's telling us of things that happened things that God has done in his world, so that we can be certain of what we believe. That God is fulfilling those promises made long, long ago. That God is at work in the world. And that we can depend on the rest of the promises that God has made, that Jesus will return. And we need to be ready for that day. When Zechariah was told the news of what God was doing, he didn't believe it. And he was struck dumb. The question is, will we believe the good news? Will we believe that what God has said and done to prepare the way for Jesus is true? Will we believe that Jesus is the Lord, the one who rules, the one who will bring salvation? This true story is now 2,000 years old. And Jesus has arrived, heralded by John, to die for our salvation. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive him and trust in him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all your promises are yes in Christ Jesus. We thank you that Luke has recorded those events, that he has written them down for us so that we can be certain of the things we have been taught. Father, help us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your word. Help us to find in your word your long promised Saviour. And help us to believe what you have said. We ask this for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.